Sanity for a change. The Rick Smith Show.
Smith Show. This may actually help the Donald out a little bit. The news report is that the wife and the son have moved into the White House. A picture of him and Melania walking hand in hand, and the 11-year-old son sporting the expert T-shirt arrived on in Marine One at the White House Sunday evening, evidently moving in to the White House. And there's part of me that goes, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe the adults have said we need a stabilizing effect. Maybe we need to be able to control him a little bit better. And maybe having the wife and child there will help. I doubt it, but hey, it may, which is why we've asked our good friend Propane Jane to come give us some thoughts about, well, the week that was and, well, what kind of insanity we've got to look forward to. Jane, thanks for taking time for us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
So do you think this is going to be a good thing for the Donald to have the wife who smacks his hand away and the young child with them?
No, I think we're in neutral territory. I don't know that it makes the situation any better or necessarily worse. I don't get the sense that she is somebody who can be soothing to him or help modify his behavior. I'm in the camp that doesn't believe anyone can modify his behavior or meet his emotional needs to the extent that he stops acting out. So we'll see. I hope that, you know, just from a safety standpoint, that everything works out. But, you know, from everything we've seen, displayed by their interactions with each other, they look pretty tense. They're like 180 degrees opposite of what we saw from the Obamas for the last 8 years.
Exactly. No, and look, and you know, I look at the Obamas, and you know, they had outwardly, and maybe they had their problems behind closed doors, but they looked outwardly to be a very loving, affectionate, happy couple. These two, not so much.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, just with Trump in general, I mean, you have a hard time seeing him just sort of even being emotionally connected to anyone, even his children. You know, the way he interacts with them in a lot of ways is more like they're employees than they are members of his family, and that he has some intense affection for them. But I also think that's an aspect of his personality and just the way that he comports himself in interpersonal relationships that come through. And I also think that's why, as a country, we don't really, you know, feel as endeared to him because he just doesn't engender that sense of kind of confidence and love and respect and honor.
That's a good point, which is why, again, you know, I think back to, you know, his comment that if Ivanka weren't his daughter, he'd be dating her. And going, you know, that's just a really creepy kind of statement.
Yeah, it's very creepy, and I also think that, you know, just over the last couple of days, what we've seen is that, you know, the Republican Party is sort of walking on eggshells around Trump and his commentary about the Comey testimony, and so from a standpoint of like surrogate going on and forwarding his message, he is having to rely, you know, pretty heavily on his children because I don't really get the sense that any of the establishment Republicans feel comfortable anymore really attaching themselves to the ways that he's behaving in response to this investigation. Yesterday on the Sunday shows, they didn't even have any major White House officials on the network to kind of, you know, defend him against this really bad press that he's had this week. But again, I think that the only people who really can defend him at this point are his family.
Yeah, so no one drew the small straw this week?
No, it seems like it's getting harder and harder. And unfortunately, even when he's bringing his children you know, to speak up for him. I mean, Donald Jr. actually seems to confirm Comey's testimony and actually is saying that his father thought that the Russia investigation, or that he hoped the Russia investigation would come to an end based on the contact that he had with Comey. So even his own family is sort of ratting him out, I think, inadvertently, mostly because they're incompetent and there really just isn't sort of a way to defend or excuse what they're actually doing behind the scenes.
Yep. No, they're not. They're not smart enough to know what the con is. I mean, that's the interesting part of all
this. Exactly. And so there is no one who can better represent Donald Trump, because again, we're talking about Donald Trump, and we're talking about someone who makes a habit of being incorrigible and making very bad decisions and sticking by them. And I was just reading an article yesterday that said that Trump has given Reince Priebus until July 4th to clean up the mess in the White House.
Yeah, you might as well just quit now. You might as well just leave now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just so laughable to me because the mess starts with him. I mean, it starts at the top. And everything is just trickling downhill, so it really doesn't matter. You know, they're just basically rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic at this point.
Yeah, I mean, but I look at the two sons, and it's like, you know, if they weren't rich, they'd be Beavis and Butthead. And maybe they should come up with a sequel. Beavis and Butthead go to the White House.
You know, they are the sequel to their father.
I think he's smarter than they are,
which is sad, right?
I think they got all the recessive genes.
But you know, I think another interesting aspect of this is like the privilege component and how we are really dealing with people who have been isolated in a bubble where they're surrounded by yes people that tell them that they are always competent and that they are always making the best decisions and they look the best and they sound the best and never really they were never really placed in the pressure cooker of kind of an environment where there's more public scrutiny. I mean, you know, with their private business, they've been able to kind of operate under the radar. And so I think this is exposing for all of them, for the children and for their father, just how they've gotten through life without necessarily being competent, even likable people, but because they have been, you know, afforded the trappings of generational wealth, they've been able to, you know, continue to thrive as a family, even though they're not very smart or very responsible.
No, exactly. But here's the thing. I mean, do you find it as interesting as I do? You had Ivanka on Fox News yesterday saying that there's a level of viciousness that she wasn't expecting in D.C. And I got to be honest, you know, had it not been, you know, had she not been the daughter of Donald J. Trump, who spent the last mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8 years railing against President Obama, you know, the birther stuff, the Muslim stuff, all of this. And you go, how do you not know that there is a level of viciousness when your father is and your family has been one of the main ones in pushing this kind of stuff? Or is this just a level of victimhood that that we need to expect from these folks?
Yeah, I think it's both, actually. I really do honestly believe that, again, they are so insulated and used to being appeased and placated that this is, you know, uncharacteristic for them. This is very unorthodox for them to be getting this widespread condemnation and for their narrative to not be changing. You know, the perception of their administration. But at the same time, I also think that these are people who, again, are very narcissistically driven. And when you're dealing with somebody that has those character traits, they are it's almost impossible to get them to take responsibility for the things they are doing that are rubbing people the wrong way. Again, it always has to be that those other people are just misunderstanding it or are just overreacting or are just being mean or whatever. because they themselves don't see anything wrong with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they really, I think, genuinely are just in a whole new world.
And I look at the statement that Eric Trump told to Sean Hannity that said that, you know, to him that, you know, Democrats aren't even people. He said, it's so sad. Morality's just gone. Morals have flown out the window, and we deserve so much better than this as a country. He goes on to say, they try and obstruct a great man. They try and obstruct his family. And I'm going, I'm not sure how they try to obstruct his family, but, you know, great man, okay, go on.
Yeah, but see, you know, he's not your dad. You know, I mean, part of the issue is that, you know, this is their father. This is the patriarch of their family.
Yep.
And so for them to admit that he is not a great man, or that, you know, there is something about him that's problematic, then that casts a shadow over the whole entire family. And so they have to maintain that he is this awesome figure just for their own self-identity and self-image because, you know.
Because they don't want to get written out of the will, Jane.
Exactly. And I was just about to say that. Like, you know, as his children, you know, they are under a different set of sort of expectations for how to deal with him than the rest of us are. You know, yes, he can sort of tweet at us and you know, lie and do all of the things that he's doing, and we don't necessarily have to live with him. We don't have to, you know, go to dinner with him. We don't, again, we're not hoping that, you know, we get an inheritance from him. And so the dynamic, I think, that has been set up in their family, you know, when the person who is like the guardian, father, mother, figure, and that person is narcissistic, and antisocial and manipulative and abusive, the dynamic that's set up, within that household and that family is, let's just do whatever we can to soothe and placate this person so that we can be safe. And so in their household, they've had to maintain this, oh, dad, you're so great. You know, you're so awesome. Of course, everything you do is perfect. And these people just don't know what they're talking about in order to keep their own selves safe from retribution or persecution from him. And so they're just, you know, trying to project their same mode of dealing with him onto the American public. But it's not going to work.
No, I mean, at this point, this administration is a train wreck. And you've even got somebody like Lindsey Graham. And I'm curious your thoughts on his statement of that Trump may be the first president to go down because he can't stop inappropriately talking about an investigation that, if he were just quiet, would clear him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. You know, he is his own worst enemy. And he makes any situation way worse. Because, you know, he is just going to continue, to try to vindicate himself, by, you know, barking at people, and by throwing out, alternative facts, right? You know, even this thing with like the tapes, you know, who knows if there really are tapes, right? I mean, that's sort of the first piece of it. But the second piece is, okay, if you continue to say that there are tapes, why are you doing that? Why aren't you releasing them? And I think that it's making even the Republican members of Congress have to actually go, okay, well, we're trying to stick by you and we're trying to go along with what you're saying. And if you do have tapes, that would help us actually, because then we could all look right, because we have some proof. Of what you're saying, and the more and more that he doesn't verify anything that he's saying, and he becomes this like boy who cried wolf, you know, I think it's just getting harder and harder to get away from the issue, because like we talked about Edgar Allan Poe and the telltale heart, telltale tweet, he is drawing more attention to the issue. Because in his own mind, he is fearful of, you know, prosecution and being revealed as someone who's a traitor in many ways.
Yeah.
So I do think that, you know, he's going to continue to implicate himself. And I think Lindsey Graham is correct in saying that self-implication is such a distraction from any sort of legislative agenda, or anything that he has planned for the country, that people are going to just get tired of the constant, poop storm that's going on every single day.
That's twice today that has been referenced. The first time I brought it up was with John McCain saying that his NATO speech was the big giant S storm, and now here it is again. So twice in less than an hour, this administration has been a giant pile of steaming storm. But here's the thing, and this is where you kind of look at all of this insanity, and you kind of look at all of this jumble, and there's part of me that goes, the genius of what is Trump is keeping us constantly in turmoil and constantly debating what is reality. And, you think of any good propagandist, that's it. Just inundate you with nonsense and inundate you with all kinds of stuff. So eventually you turn off.
Yeah. I mean, he is hoping for, like the sheer level of exhaustion. And I think, sort of clinically, what we find is that people who, suffer from these personality disorders, that's what happens with their families, that ultimately, people just get tired of, like, the obfuscation and the deflection and the refusal to take responsibility. And so instead of, like, still trying to work with that person or stay engaged with that person, they just sort of distance themselves from that individual just to stop their own stress that's related to having to deal with somebody who's like that.
Right, which explains why Malia kept the child back in New York. And I'd love to know who brokered that deal to make sure that they came back to the White House.
Yeah, because again, I think it looks bad. I don't know, what the historical facts are on, how many first families sort of have been long distance in ways. And I understand that, school has some aspect of that as well. But again, we are, coming off of 8 years of President Obama, where he very much, took his two young children out of school in Chicago and moved them to D.C. and, did sort of all of the obligatory things that happen when somebody is president. But I also think that, if you think about the parallels between their family and us as a country, that there are these sort of periods of time where you just need a break from everything that's happening and from the dysfunction. And I think ultimately, over time, that is going to result in people just throwing the whole administration out. Like, okay, anybody that's associated with this problem and this dysfunction, I'm just tired of y'all and I want y'all to go home. And that's the risk that the Republican Party is running right now. Because they are becoming so off-putting as a brand for continuing to subject all of us to this emotional turmoil on a daily basis.
So last question I've got for you then, when do the Republicans, I've been saying this for a while, that it's going to be the Republicans who impeach him and just to save their own hides. At which point do they say, you've been as useful to us as you can be, now out to the curb with you, and we usher in the era of Mike Pence?
Yeah, I'm wondering about that myself because, at the outset, I sort of thought, and I think even you and I discussed this early on around the time of the inauguration, that the Republican Party has certain legislative goals that they want to accomplish and that they need, a president to sign off on. And I think we sort of thought, okay, they'll try to get this Obamacare repeal through. They'll try to do this tax reform thing, and then get all of that out of the way. And then whatever happens, happens. And if they have to get rid of them, they will. But over 4 months into this, I think what we're finding is that, even their attempts to pass their legislative agenda are really failing in a lot of ways. I mean, again, like we've talked about over and over again, I mean, very few things have gone through the normal legislative process of making it through the House and Senate and then ending up on his desk to be signed. And I think that has everything to do with the distractions. It has everything to do with these temper tantrums, the Russia investigation, you know, just the sheer level of incompetence again. And so that is making it harder, I think, for them to sort of just hurry up, get everything out, and get him out of there. And Pence, I think, is becoming more sullied. So it's not even a clear-cut, okay, we can get rid of Trump and then put Pence there, because the more and more information comes out, he is implicated as well. So I just think that they're in between a rock and a hard place because, you know, Trump's approval continues to decrease. I mean, he's coming pretty close to crossing the 30% approval line. And I don't know, you know, once it dips below 30, do they just go, okay, we have to just, you know, cut bait? Or are they going to continue to be insistent? And I just do not envy them at all right now.
Oh, no, I'm actually enjoying the fact that they're in this situation. Because here's the thing. They can't get out of their own way, and they've got a leader
Correct.
Who can't get out of his own way. So what you're seeing is just total and absolute dysfunction. But here's the thing. The really horrible stuff that I really expected to be done by now, like pay or die health insurance, more tax cuts for the wealthy, you know, the end of overtime, the end of child labor laws, the end of, you know, the 20th century, if you will. That hasn't uh-huh. happened yet. They're still working on it. Trust me, they're working on it, but it hasn't happened yet as I thought it would have.
Yeah. And, you know, my most recent piece that I wrote for Sheer Blue that just came out on Sunday is called I Don't Trust Donald Trump or the Republican Party, and I'm Not Alone. And the basic gist there is that, again, as this Russia investigation drags on, the public is becoming more and more distrustful of the party in general, and the whole establishment looks bad because they are aiding and abetting this man. And so anything they try to do now is sullied by that. And their legislative agenda, the more time that ticks off of the clock, it becomes even more impotent, I think, because they look like people you can't trust and like people who are only going to make bad decisions for us.
Yeah, I mean, they're people I never trusted, but here's the thing, and this is my
right.
here's my concern. My concern is while soiling their own brand, while burning their own house to the ground, they end up scorched-earthing the entire system, and we end up in chaos. And at the end of it, the guy who, you know, who helped push us in this direction, you know, Vladimir Putin's laughing his you-know-what off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, because that I think was the ultimate goal, was to divide and conquer. But you know, I think that, you know, from the ashes, we'll have to rise a movement that actually repairs and fixes a lot of the disaster that happened. And so I do think that it's kind of directly proportionate that the worst off things are with them in power, the more apt people are to want to stand up and get them out of office. So we have to just continue to inform people of how disastrous this agenda is. And we also have to continue to register our level of distrust and disapproval of what's happening so that we can mobilize people to get some new blood in Congress and get some of these things prosecuted and also hopefully, you know, get to the bottom of what Trump was doing with Russia.
Yep. Or the people around him, because I don't know that Trump and Putin were holding hands, but it just seems a lot
right.
of his advisors and the people around him were married up to the oligarchs and the big money and bought off. It just,
mm-hmm.
it's just, and look, it, to me, the Russian involvement is not just on the Trump side either. I mean, you look a lot of the left media in this country, they're funded by Sputnik Radio and by RT and all of these Russian
mm-hmm.
organizations. I want to get to the bottom of the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, again, this is about, you know, our sovereignty as a nation. And it really is past the point of Democrat, Republican, independent. You know, we are defending ourselves against enemies, foreign and domestic. And we really have to think about it that way, because this is definitely an all-out assault on both sides of the political spectrum. And ultimately, it's meant to diminish our role in the world. And destabilize us internally, and we just can't let that happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're on the way to being able to break out the mission accomplished banner, which is why it's great having you on. I appreciate it, Jane. Keep up the great work, and I look forward to talking to you again.
All right, you too. Have a great week.
All as well as you. Always great talking to our friend Propane Jane. Again, if you want to check out her stuff, we'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com, and you can take a look at it. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Have a good talk.
We're on the road to nowhere. We're on the road to nowhere. We're on the road to nowhere. Bringing sanity and rational thought back to America. Rick Smith.